Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Mark Cox Morning Show.
I want to compliment your show on how fair and level-headed everything you guys talk about.
Who is this guy? He's saying what we've been saying forever.
Maybe what we need from a conservative standpoint is...
The Mark Cox Morning Show.
I respect that. We don't agree. Listen to both sides.
This...
Let's get it on.
...is the Mark Cox Morning Show. The Mark Cox Shortlist. Brought to you by Eggers Heating and Air Conditioning. Call Eggers.com.
Well, I think that would come up appropriately next Tuesday. And that's when the vote would occur.
We all have to denounce any further meddling in our elections. Americans should decide American elections.
That's why we have to fight climate change with such urgency.
It's called Trump derangement syndrome. It really is.
Why does a Jeff Rorta exist?
We're not criticizing her because she's the first. We're criticizing her because she's the worst.
Amen. Couldn't agree more with Jeff Rorta on that particular conclusion there. Hey, welcome into the Mark Cox Morning Show. Glad you're with us on this Wednesday. You know what is tonight? That because of the whole dust-up yesterday with Kim Gardner and the lawsuit and the news conference and all that stuff, we didn't even mention the governor's state of the state addresses tonight.
Yep. This afternoon.
Yes. He moved it back. That's true. There's a lot of discussion over budget disagreements between the governor and the legislature and all that. We're going to get him on here tomorrow morning talking about some of that. And here's all you need to understand. The disagreement simply means the governor wants the authority to budget for a little more expenditures in an election year, probably. And the legislature is being a little more conservative in their estimates of how much revenue the state will bring in. So we'll figure all that out in the next day or two, and they're going to move forward with it. Apparently, one of the big issues that they're going to talk about is residency in the city of St. Louis. Does that matter to you? Do you know nobody testified against the idea of getting rid of the residency rule yesterday? That is a sea change from a few years ago. There was once a belief that if you ever changed that rule, thousands more people would leave the city of St. Louis because they would no longer be required to live there, and they'd move elsewhere to find better schools for their kids or whatever the case may be.
Yeah, I was reading a little bit more about that. Like, with that, it's like you have to have some sort of requirement still, and it's, from what I read, the proposal is that they would have to be within an hour.
Like, they'd have to live within an hour.
Yeah, you have to live within an hour's drive of the city.
I can't imagine anybody would want to live further than that and go to work.
You
anyway.
Wouldn't think so, but it's just like you still have to have those rules on the books to make sure. But
I would say that,
and the mayor wants it not just police; it's all, you know, all city workers. Though not everybody went that far. A lot of them were just for, you know, in favor of the police residency rule. But the mayor wants it all city workers.
Excuse the pun here, but it is a shame when you have to hold a gun to somebody's head to force them to live in one area. That's kind of what the residency rule has done. It said that if you work in St. Louis, if you're a city police officer, firefighter, city employee, you have to live within the city limits. And I think that probably what's going to happen if they pass this, which it looks like there's no opposition to it, is it's going to be really good news if you're a real estate agent in Jefferson County or St. Louis County or maybe Franklin County or somewhere in Illinois. And it's bad news if you're a real estate agent in the city, because there's going to be a lot of homes going up for sale when that passes. I think that's going to happen. You know, I talked to Sue about this yesterday before she left, and she told me that the housing market is starting to heat up again. It tends to slow down a little bit in the wintertime. People aren't as anxious to move if they got to pull kids out of school and that sort of thing. She said, but they normally see the spring market heat up. She said it's heating up earlier than normal right now. There's a lot of activity with people out there shopping again, and why not? Interest rates are low. The economy's good. People are making more money than they made in ages. You heard the president last night. He looks at his audience. He's at this rally, right? And he looks out at his audience, and his question for them is pretty simple. How's your 401k? I mean, I heard him say that several times last night in his speech, and his point is very valid. I don't know, after watching the Democratic debate, which I did my due diligence. I did my show prep for you.
How much did you sit through?
Sorry.
So it started at 8, and I watched the first full hour of it. For the first few minutes, I'll have to admit, I switched back and forth between the president's speech and the Democrats on the stage, because, I mean, the difference is as dramatic as looking out your window in the dead of winter and seeing all of the trees with no leaves on them, or driving the Great River Road when all of the leaves are in full color in the fall. Mm-hmm. The president is interesting. He's engaging. He's got the economy and the facts of what he's accomplished despite these strong headwinds, versus the Democrats, who want to look you in the eye and tell you, well, when I get in office, I'm changing everything he's doing because it's obviously not working. Who are you talking to? Mm-hmm. Who are you talking to who doesn't think it's working?
Yeah. To your point about the real estate, I don't even think that it dipped that much in the winter like it normally does, because I bought a house in Illinois in December, and inventory was going within a week.
Wow.
In Illinois. Mm-hmm. I mean, you couldn't. If you liked something, you made an offer, you got it right then. And that was, I couldn't afford to live in Missouri because the inflated rates right now. But yeah, it was, there was not really the lull that there normally is.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Good time. Good time to buy. My kids, my daughter and her husband are out looking now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They're interested in you know, finding a home. And the downside is you're going to pay the market price for it.
True.
Because things are going well. But if you're selling a home, you're also going to get a good price for it.
Yeah.
You know. Anyway, good luck with that. We'll talk more about it. I got Cassie Smedley from the RNC coming up. It'd be interesting to get her take on the Democrats and their debate last night, because if you watched it at all, you heard a bunch of Debbie Downers up there telling you how bad things are and how they're going to turn it around by killing fossil fuels and making your gas $6 a gallon. Give me a break. And later this hour, about 6:45, stay tuned, 30 minutes from now, our special Decision 2020 coverage with a correspondent you all know by name who's going to call in here and give us the lowdown on the Democratic debate. We'll be right back.
It isn't so much about experience, it's about judgment.
Our plan wouldn't bankrupt the country. In fact, it would improve.
And there will be no trade agreement until we invest more in American workers.
It makes no sense for childcare to cost two-thirds of somebody's income.
Universal childcare for everyone. It just has some people adding a small payment.
I would declare a state of emergency on day one on climate.
Yeah. Are you asleep yet? Wake up. That was the highlight of the Democratic debate last night.
That's a very strong word for that.
Those were the highlights. I mean, it was a snoozer with everybody trying to get to the left of Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders, other than Biden, who just kind of bumbled his way through it again, seemed kind of lost. Here's the thing I love about Biden. He's been in Washington for longer than some of you have been alive. He's been in Washington longer, I know, than Trish has been alive. But he's here to tell you that he's the guy to fix all the problems that he's been there overseeing for the past 40 years. You got to be kidding.
This is his year, Mark.
This is it.
Yes.
If you just put me back in power one more time, I can fix all the things that I screwed up the last 40 years. I'm not buying it. I don't know. Let me get to my guest, Cassie Smedley with the RNC. Cassie, good morning to you.
Good morning. You hit it right on the head there, Mark. I'm going to fix all the things that I screwed up the last 40 years. Biden has the worst record on that stage. I'm with you. That was the most frustrating thing at him last night.
Well, you know, I loved watching the president's speech last night. Well, first of all, I love watching his rallies and the people that lined up 12, 15 hours ahead of time just to get a spot in the arena last night to watch him speak. You don't see any kind of enthusiasm like that for the Democrats. And then he says to them, How's your 401k doing? One guy in the front row said his was up 80, 90, 100%, something like that. President says, yeah, that's pretty good. Here's what Joe Biden said last night when asked about trade deals. Go to cut 24 for me, please.
There will be no trade agreement signed in my administration without environmentalists and labor at the table. And there will be no trade agreement until we invest more in American workers.
Boy, I'm asleep already, but tell me how in the world that would have helped the economy.
Right, and the beauty of all this, or I guess the irony, is they're doing it in Iowa. They're doing it in a place that Donald Trump has been fighting for. Today, we're about ready to sign the first phase of an agreement with China, something that we thought we wouldn't see in our lifetime, especially for those of us in the Midwest who have so been plagued by our leaders just cowing to China. And so they're up there espousing every check-the-box far-left position that they can in front of an audience of people, not in that room, but presumably in that state, because I don't know if you saw that room was tiny, but yeah. Presumably in that state, who have been so hampered by all of these far-left ideas, have been so hampered by the left being more concerned with appeasing their the PC culture and the far-left base than actually fighting for those of us in the heartland. So every single time that they got on and said, let me tell you how many trillions of dollars I'm going to spend for X government program that's going to be X climate sensitive or X, you know, sensitive to you name it group, it just told me that that's going to turn back all the progress that's been made the last 3 years. Every single time you hear one of those words, we all should have been triggered in saying, we got to vote for Donald Trump. We can't vote for these people.
Cassie, I read the statements last night by Ronna McDaniel, your boss there at the RNC. I loved her point about Iowa, is that these Democrats are in Iowa for their debate last night only for show, because if they all had their way, including Elizabeth Warren, Iowa wouldn't matter anymore.
That's right. Every single candidate in the race has voiced that they've been in favor of, in some form or another, abolishing the Electoral College. They don't like the system that we have now. And so the chairwoman's point, she said they're only in Iowa because they have to be. If they get their way and they get to abolish the Electoral College, none of them will campaign in the heartland ever again.
Right.
Because that's not where they want to spend their time. They want to be out in Los Angeles and New York, and they want to be in the areas that have high populations. And that's not the way our country works. That's not the way our founders wanted it to work, but it speaks right to the height of their hypocrisy. They're there just trying to pander to voters, but they don't actually have a genuine desire to fight for them and work for them. And the juxtaposition of, you mentioned it, Donald Trump in Milwaukee last night with people who, the first person who got in line for that rally was in line at 10 a.m. on Monday for a Tuesday night rally. And I actually haven't seen, usually Brad Parscale, the campaign manager, he posts on Twitter the makeup of the rally attendees. I haven't seen him yet, but usually we average about 20 to 25% of attendees are registered Democrats. Another quarter are independents. Many of them came out to vote for the first time, some of them in their lifetimes, for Donald Trump. So he is appealing to people who absolutely have felt left behind in their life by their elected leaders or left behind by their Democrat Party and are moving over. And you don't see that on the left. And the more they talk about how they don't feel that they want the Electoral College, the more that they just crystallize that belief that they're not really in it for us. They're in it for themselves.
True. Cassie Smedley, my guest this morning, press secretary with the RNC. Today, the Senate is expected to be handed the articles of impeachment. I've read several different reports, including one from our Senator Blunt, that it looks like there are going to be witnesses called at this. Has the RNC taken a position on this whole inquiry and witnesses?
We haven't. Well, we haven't. Our general position is we want to get back to the business of the American people, because that's what the voters tell us they want. The voters are over the impeachment. But I do think that what we've heard Mitch McConnell say, the witnesses piece of this comes down the road anyway. And I know the Senate from the very beginning, they've said, we're not going to be like the House. We're going to have a fair process, whatever that looks like. And we're going to go through this and figure out what the process needs to look like for us. It's not going to be some sham theatrics like you saw with Adam Schiff. So they are bound and determined not to let Nancy Pelosi and Schiff and Schumer call the shots on this. And so I think as much as we want it to be done quickly and not drag on, and we certainly don't want it to be a sham politicization like you said on the House, you also see the Senate saying the House had their turn. We're not going to let them dictate the terms of this. So I think a lot of them coming out saying we're open to witnesses, that's because they're saying, but as senators, we're allowed to do this the way that we see fit. You guys are done calling the shot.
Yeah, I'm not sure the Democrats are going to be very happy with how this goes. Cassie Smedley, thanks so much. We appreciate your input this morning.
Thank you. Have a great week.
You bet. Thank you very much. Cassie Smedley with the RNC there. You know, here's the deal. Here's what McConnell said yesterday. He's open to bringing Hunter Biden in. So the Democrats want to start calling witnesses. They want to try to demand that John Bolton testify. Ted Cruz and Mitch McConnell are saying, bring it. And we're going to take Hunter Biden away from his baby daddy trial down in Arkansas. And we're going to bring him under oath in the United States Senate and ask him a few questions about how he enriched himself while his daddy was running United States business in the Ukraine and China. They've got the power to get the records. That'll be interesting.
When are you going to debate and vote on the organizing resolution? And when will you reveal what the resolution will look like?
Well, I think that would come up appropriately next Tuesday. And that's when the vote would occur. That is assuming we're on the trial next Tuesday, and I think that's the case.
Yeah, Mitch McConnell said they're expecting to get the articles of impeachment voted to be sent over by the House today. So probably next week this thing all gets set up, right? And then just like we thought, the trial leads right up to the week or so before the Iowa caucuses, which means Bernie and Elizabeth and Amy are going to be at work and not campaigning the last week before the Iowa caucus.
They're actually going to have to do their job.
They are, what? And I'm sure that Nancy
they
Pelosi
might have forgotten how by now.
Is thrilled.
If they ever knew to begin with.
I'm sure she's thrilled by that. Let's get to the business report, please. Jennifer Kashinka joining us this morning. And Jennifer, big trade news today. I think the president's signing at least the first part of that China trade pact, right?
Yes, indeed. Investors have been waiting for details of that phase one trade deal expected to be signed between the U.S. and China today, but they may already know most of what's in it, and that's why futures are lower. Gold prices jumped and copper prices fell after the U.S. said it would keep tariffs on Chinese goods in place until a second phase is signed, dampening the outlook for a trade detente. And the Wall Street Journal reports that relations between Washington and Beijing will remain fraught after the phase one deal is signed because of tensions over technology. Rail hopper cars may finally have more business to handle, though. Government forecasters say farmers are harvesting more corn and soybeans than expected this season, lifting prospects for an agriculture sector that has been hurt by rough weather and spreading trade tensions. The report comes as China is set to purchase big volumes of farm goods from the U.S. over the next 2 years. A quarter of the covered hopper cars used for grain, chemicals, and minerals transport are idled, accounting for more than a third of U.S. rail cars in storage. Boeing orders have fallen to their lowest level since 2003, and cancellations are outnumbering sales. Now, those are signs of how badly the crisis surrounding the 737 MAX has damaged the company. Boeing says it took only 246 orders for new commercial airplanes in 2019, while European rival Airbus has sprinted far ahead of Boeing in both orders and deliveries. Meanwhile, American Airlines is taking the MAX out of its schedules for two more months until early June and canceling thousands more flights. Boeing and Lockheed Martin are squaring off in the contest to supply Germany with big military helicopters, with the company submitting official bids for a contract analyst value at about $4 billion. Boeing offered a version of its Chinook, with export sales especially important as the Pentagon has been cutting domestic purchases. And Lockheed, in partnership with a German firm, is offering its new CH-53K. Germany is expected to make a decision next year. Baby Yoda is coming to St. Louis-based Build-A-Bear. Toys featuring the instantly popular character from The Mandalorian have been in high demand since the show debuted on Disney Plus in November. High-profile partnerships with companies such as Disney and Lucasfilm are crucial to Build-A-Bear's business as customers seek out iconic characters in stuffed animal form. It pays to be a techie. Glassdoor's 50 best jobs for 2020 include 20 tech positions, including the top seven posts. Rating earnings potential, overall job satisfaction, and number of openings. The role of front-end engineer claims the top spot, followed by Java developer, data scientist, product manager, and DevOps engineer. And it looks like James Bond is sobering up. Ad Age says Heineken, which upset some Bond purists with a product placement deal in 2012 Skyfall that had Bond swapping his standard martini for a Heineken, is taking it a step further this year by using the film to plug its non-alcoholic Heineken 0.0. The ad campaign comes in advance of the April release of the latest film in the spy franchise, No Time to Die. Mark?
Oh, no. I hate that. Maybe they should. Why didn't Dos Equis get that deal, right? With the little guy, you know, I don't often drink beer, but when I do, that would have been perfect for Bond.
I don't know. He's gone from martinis to Heineken to now alcohol-free Heineken.
Now, isn't this supposed to be the last film for this Bond actor? What's his name?
That I don't know.
Is it Daniel Craig?
Daniel Craig. Yeah, I think this is supposed to be the last one. Okay. Interesting. All right. Thank you, Jennifer. Appreciate that.
All right. Yep. You got it.
So Bond not ordering a martini shaken, not stirred. I mean, that's just, you can't take that out of the film. Come on. I don't get that. I guess, I've heard how much companies pay for the product placement.
Oh, yeah.
But seriously. Wow. Did you hear about that story yesterday in L.A. with all those kids who had to be treated because gas fell on them?
Yeah.
So there was I believe it was a Delta Airlines flight that was leaving from Los Angeles to maybe Shanghai, and it had just taken off, and the pilot declared an emergency and had to turn around and land. Well, when you're flying that far, the wings are completely full of fuel, mm-hmm. So he had to do a fuel dump before he could land again because of the weight. I guess there's an increased risk of an explosion if you land and the wings were to snap off or something because they're so heavy. And so somebody got like perfect video of this plane flying around spewing jet fuel at the back of it from, it's probably 5,000 or 6,000 feet in the air still. Uh-huh. And it flew right over a fairly populated area with a bunch of like schools. And there were kids outside on the playground who got covered in this av gas.
Yeah. Holy moly.
I don't know what the other options were. Could the plane have circled out over the ocean and dumped some of that? Maybe they're going to take a little bit of heat for where they dumped it.
Yeah.
They had to dump it. This happens all the time.
Could they have flown? This happens all the time. Planes are flying over the United States dumping gasoline?
Yes. Well, in emergencies. Huh. So my in-laws were leaving St. Louis years ago on a flight to Hawaii. It was a nonstop flight from St. Louis to Hawaii. Mm-hmm. And they were in the air 10 minutes, and the pilots discovered a problem, and they had to turn around and circle St. Louis and dump fuel before they landed again. So I know that it's standard operating procedure that you can't land with the wings full of fuel.
Where did that pilot dump the fuel?
I don't remember, but my father-in-law said because he was a pilot himself, also a helicopter pilot, which is a whole different story. But he said they were behind the wing on their seats were behind the wing. They looked out the window and they saw all of the av gas being dumped out of the plane, uh-huh, as they were flying. So it's not unusual for
that
them to do that.
That is unbelievable. Well, if it's not unusual for this situation to happen, we live in a very populated society. It's surprising that this is not more
not better known.
Than-
yeah.
Yeah.
That you don't hear about it more. It was such a surprise. Mm-hmm.
So there were no serious injuries. A number of kids reported that their skin was itching or their, mm-hmm, eyes were itching or whatever after this stuff was dumped on them. But they don't think there's any long-term
damage. I'm a parent and my kid gets gasoline dumped on them from the sky, can I sue the airline?
I don't think so.
Probably not.
You can probably try.
Why probably not, though?
Well, so I guess this is if they had opted not to do that, or if they passed some knee-jerk law that they can't do that, because clearly in L.A. they would have the option to circle out over the water and do that. Here they wouldn't. They might be able to find some farmland somewhere where they're going to kill a farmer's crops if they dump all this gas all over it. But if you pass a rule that they can't do that, and then the plane lands and explodes and kills all 200 people on board, that's a problem too. So I'm
not saying I would sue or that I'd want the people to blow up, but are we just accept that this is an okay thing?
You can
kill
bet.
Farmers' crops or to dump gas on kids.
Maybe there's a pilot out there that can explain it, but you can bet somewhere there's an attorney chasing that angle down.
Yeah, someone would be willing to take it on.
Somebody who had asthma, who had a violent reaction to this, and they're going to want Delta to pay up. I don't know.
I guess it does sound like a possibility. I just think it would probably be difficult, but someone would take that on.
Somebody will do it. The possibility of a payout. Hey, I'll tell you what, we have to get to a break here because we have a special guest coming up. We've asked him to call in. He's a Democrat, I'll just warn you, a pretty well-known one, to kind of give us the lowdown, his take on how the Democrats did last night on the debate stage. Can a woman be president of the United States? He's got a unique perspective on that. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show.
They understand that we have an America right now that's working great for those at the top. It's just not working for anyone else. We have a chance to unite as Democrats, but also with independents and Republicans who are sick of living in a country that's working great for the politicians that are taking the money. It's working great for the lobbyists.
Really, Lizzie? Is this economy working for you? Love this song, by the way. Our next guest might be able to play his saxophone along with this song, just so you know. Well, go ahead and hit it, please.
The Mark Cox Morning Show. It's Decision 2020.
Who the hell wants to change what we're doing now?
And now we welcome in our special Decision 2020 correspondent, Number 42, former President Bill Clinton joining us this morning. Mr. President, thank you for your time.
Hey, you doing all right this morning, Mark? I heard you talking about spewing gasoline on kids. That's a great way to wake up.
Well, it's those crazy people in California. You know, you got to watch out for them, sir.
Oh, they are lunatics. You're right. I'm sorry.
So, sir, I know that you had to be up late watching this debate last night. What was your reaction? Do you think there was a winner on that stage?
Well, I woke up a few times, dozed off about 20 minutes in, and woke back up to Bernie and Lizzie fighting over how long ago 1990 was. They did come to an agreement that it was 30 years, though. So
they can do math.
I'm really glad to see that they can do that math. That's good.
Yeah, that's true.
You know who can do great math is Hillary. So,
and how's that?
No, there's no winner. Well, you know, you can't really dispute the numbers there, Mark. Did you pay attention to the last election?
I did, and I did indeed, sir. She lost by a landslide in the Electoral College.
Well, there's your winner. You know, love the debate last night with Hillary.
Oh, okay.
Hillary all the way. Yeah. No one talked about her. I thought that was mighty convenient.
Well, Bernie Sanders did bring her up once because he said that he would never argue that a woman couldn't win because Hillary Clinton had received 3 million more votes than Donald Trump.
Yeah, well, he's an old coot. I don't like old Bernie. That's just me, though. He gives me the willies, if you know what I mean.
I like that. So who's your wife going to endorse on the Democrat slate for 2020?
Well, none of this snooze fest from last night. I tell you what, I mean, it's just one after the other. I don't really care for them all too much. I think Miss Hillary's going to jump in pretty soon, though.
There you go.
I'm trying to nudge her. I'm trying to get her on. But last night was terrible. I mean, it was absolutely terrible.
Was she throwing things again?
Well, I've got a couple bruises. I'm bleeding. I didn't bleed as long as they said I would. Let's just say that. The ER was a little off.
Well, I tell you what, Mr. President, it's great having you on. I hope we can get you to join us again throughout Decision 2020. And when you get a chance, ship me some of those fine cigars that you enjoy so much.
Well, you know what? I might just do that. I might just do that if you're lucky.
I appreciate it, sir. Former President Bill Clinton joining us there, sir. Have a great morning.
Hey, you too, Mark. Bye-bye.
All right. Yeah, yeah. Thank you very much. Wow. Hillary's jumping in soon. We'll be right back.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.